Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message is all about the joy that Jesus' birth brought to this world. Are you feeling joy-filled today? 'Tis the season for it, after all. Stay tuned to get a great example of joy that we can all appreciate.
But you know what? We're still going to invite the children to come down for a brief message. There it is. All right. Today's scripture passage is coming out of the Gospel of Luke. Is that Old Testament or New Testament?
New.
It's New Testament. Okay, good. What do we know about Luke? Does anybody remember what Luke, what his job was?
He was a shepherd?
Nope, he wasn't a shepherd. He was a doctor, a physician. So, you know, he was one that really looked, investigated things a lot because he had a lot of schooling that he did. So, let me, and there's one thing I forgot to bring down with me. Let me grab that real quick. I have a painting here I'm going to show you before I put up on the stand. And that's going to be kind of what we're going to talk about here today. It's a painting of Elizabeth and Mary. And that was actually painted by Miss Debbie's mom, Carol. And let me ask you, are you excited that Christmas is only a couple weeks away? Yeah? Pretty exciting. You know, remember the candles up there on the going around the Advent wreath? Remember each time we light one, that's how many, we're counting down the weeks. There's only one more candle that we have left, the purple one to light, but that'll be the last Sunday before Christmas. So we're winding it down, huh? Pretty exciting. What makes you excited about Christmas? Okay, go ahead, Mason.
Celebrating,
okay. Gifts don't really. You don't care if you get any Christmas presents or anything.
I care.
Oh, you care. Okay.
Well. But I do like making gingerbread.
You like making gingerbread. I like eating gingerbread. So we've got a lot of common there. You make it, I'll eat it. That'd be cool. What about you, Colin? What makes you excited about Christmas?
All the celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus' birthday, yeah. And presents. Presents are kind of cool too. Yeah, I figured so. So, you know, today's scripture talks about two ladies, you know, that who were related. Their names were Mary and Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth may have been Mary's aunt, or maybe they were cousins. It's probably a little bit distant related, I think. The Bible just tells us they were relatives, so they knew each other, and they were going to have a baby. Both of them were going to have a baby, which is kind of exciting. Just like you are excited for gifts at Christmas, these two ladies were excited about having a baby. They were really excited by their joy. And then in the Bible, a doctor named Luke spoke with Mary, because he talked with Mary to get her events, her timeline, her history of what happened with Jesus. And this is what he wrote. He says, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in Judea's hill country. There she entered Zacharias' home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside Elizabeth," that's the lady there in the gold, "her baby jumped inside her." Have you ever felt a baby moving inside of her mom? Yeah, it's kind of neat, isn't it? When they're moving around and everything like that. Yeah. Well, this one here moved a lot, you know. And this baby, the baby that's in... And Elizabeth there on the left, that baby's name was going to be, he's going to be John the Baptist. And he was going to have a very big part of Jesus' life, big part. And, you know, and so baby John inside there was super excited when he heard Mary say hi. Because Mary had who in her? What baby did Mary have?
Jesus.
Yeah, he had Jesus. And John and Jesus were relatives, but John was super excited to hear about that Jesus was nearby there. So, and Jesus was God's gift to all of us. And so when we celebrate, like you mentioned, both of you mentioned earlier, you know, we should all be just as excited as John was jumping around inside his mom, you know, as we celebrate Christmas. So remember to say happy birthday to Jesus. You know, God is God's greatest gift to us when it comes up next a week from Thursday. So can you please pray with me? First of all, you have any questions about God or Jesus or the Bible? No. All right. One of these days you will, though, I'm sure. All right, will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for giving us Jesus, the greatest gift ever. Amen. All right, great job. Oh, if you want your bag, yeah, come over here. Nope, they don't want to get them. Okay. You know, this week, we're once again looking at a passage from Luke, Luke chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn to that page as well, chapter 1. You know, when Debbie was 6 months pregnant with our daughter, my young son and I used to play out and play around in our front room. You know, it was typically a game of wrestling. We'd be wrestling around on the floor or on the couch and stuff. And some of you mom and dads may have done something very similar. You know, remember such antics. And as the two of us, my son and I, were moving around and taunted each other, my daughter inside Debbie used to get so excited. And she'd start moving around and prodding and poking. You know, it was almost like Debbie said, it's almost like she's trying to find a way out and get involved with what's going on here. Since Debbie was just a spectator, though, the only way that my daughter Andrea knew what was going on is because she could hear. You know, she could hear inside, while she's still inside her mom, she could still hear what's the commotion taking place and hear the voices. And she was about as excited as her brother was and her dad were. So this week's Advent theme is one of joy. So in chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 39. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry into the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. You know, when the angel informed Mary about her cousin's or her relative's pregnancy, Mary hurriedly traveled right to her. That's what it says right here in the scriptures. Elizabeth was likely in Hebron, and that's about 80 to 90 miles away. So it's not nearby for somebody traveling in the first century. You see, it's not a considerable distance today. The distance from here, from Nazareth to Hebron, is probably about 80 or 90 miles. About the distance from here to like down by the villages or the turnpike in Ocala for us. But it would require a journey of about 3 to 4 days. Because people usually only walk about 20 or 30 miles. So about the distance from here to, like, say, Lake Butler or to Branford would be about as far as you'd get in one day. And then you just pick up and you continue going from that. And so Mary would also have been part of a larger group, you know, for safety. You know, you don't send a young teenage, you know, a teenage girl out on her own like that. So she would have been with a group of travelers going down there as well. And they spent 3 or 4 days walking down in that direction. And we pick up in verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that in that verse, that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, unlike today, back in the first century, this is a very rare occurrence. What caused Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the first part of this verse provides some context. Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and baby John leapt in her womb. So we could probably look at John as the source for this happening. And according to Healthline, babies can detect some sounds beginning at 18 or 16 weeks. And in the 18th week of pregnancy, their nervous system matures, and so they can hear many more sounds. At about 22 to 24 weeks, they will consistently respond to external sounds. And even in week 25, their brain is sufficiently developed that they can recognize a full range of sounds and voices and respond to them. Now, Elizabeth is in her sixth month of pregnancy at this point. So her baby would be able to recognize voices. Despite never hearing Mary's voice ever before, the Holy Spirit within John recognized the significance of that voice, which caused John to jump for joy. And for women who've borne children, you know firsthand of the many things that happen to your body from pregnancy. Weight gain, swollen feet, indigestion, sleeping problems, and more. Many pro-choice advocates label that baby as a parasite, which by definition is an organism that lives and feeds on or in an organism of a different species and causes harm to its host. But in that definition, there is a problem with this view. Okay, notice it says an organism living inside another organism of a different species. But the point, so a human baby inside a human mother is the same species, so it's technically not a parasite like that. But the pro-choicers like to point out that the baby simply takes and takes from the mother. And to some extent, they're right. The baby does take nourishment, blood, certain nutrients from the mom. Calcium for bone growth is a critical need for the developing fetus. But did you also know that a baby does give back something physically to the mom? Embryonic and fetal stem cells that help the baby to grow are also transmitted to the mother while she is pregnant. These cells travel throughout the mother, including the skin, spleen, liver, brain, lungs, kidney, thyroid, lymph nodes, gallbladder, intestines, and the heart. The cells go wherever there is trouble in the mom's health. And when they get there, they fix it. It's like it regenerates. They correct the ailment and restore the organ to a healthy state. And these cells can stay in the mom's body for up to 30 years after the baby is delivered. It's no wonder there's such a big push to use stem cells and for research in certain conditions, treating certain conditions. But notice two things that happened in our verse. The angel Gabriel had prophesied that John will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And when Mary's voice was heard by the child in the uterus, he was able to recognize this stranger's voice. Plus, Elizabeth also became filled with the Holy Spirit, like John. Verse 42, and she cried out with a loud voice, Elizabeth did, and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Because of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth knew immediately about Mary's pregnancy. Mary was merely just a few days pregnant when this happened. She might not even tested positive on a home pregnancy test kit. It was that early. Yet Elizabeth knew. And besides, those test kits, they have an error rate. But the Holy Spirit is never wrong. The Holy Spirit inspired Elizabeth to give testimony to Mary. Mary, a teenager, having just had a visit from an angel that said, you're going to have God's baby, that may have been a little incredulous for her to believe. And for Elizabeth to affirm that just days after she spoke with the angel would be very reassuring to Mary about what she had seen. She may have been a little unsure about when the timing would be for this whole pregnancy thing, but Elizabeth has just affirmed it to her in an unexpected and unplanned way. Mary is pregnant now. This reassured Mary that her visit from Gabriel was the real deal. And Elizabeth also proclaimed Mary as blessed among women. You know, this is in the terms of Scripture, blessed is much more than having a good day. It means a person is favored by God. It's more than just things are going right for me. Oh, I'm blessed. No. When a person's blessed, they are favored by God when they talk about it in the Scripture. It is the reason we have to be happy and joyful when things are going right. In verse 43, and how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your voice, of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. You see, Elizabeth not only knew that Mary was pregnant, but she also knew it was a boy, and she knew his identity, God, the Messiah, the Lord. This child was to be spiritually connected to John, who was to be his herald. You know, Jesus referred to John the Baptist as the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He was also the last of them. And John the Baptist was a distant cousin to Jesus, about six months older than Jesus was. And he was going to be the herald, the one who announced the way of Jesus. So Elizabeth and John were the first people to know of Mary's pregnancy. And also note how Elizabeth honored this unborn child. She referred to him as her Lord. And although she was Jesus' elder in the world, she recognized that Jesus was her elder. And if you notice also that when Elizabeth said, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Even though Elizabeth was the elder for Mary, Mary's role was so vital that Elizabeth said, I should have been the one coming to see you. It was that kind of a understanding there. In verse 45, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. You know, Zacharias had returned home from his time at the temple, full of wonder and hope for his prayer to be realized. When Elizabeth became pregnant, both of them were full of joy. God's faithfulness to his righteous servants gave them joy, and that joy brought Zacharias and Elizabeth even closer together. Then, Mary was told that Elizabeth will have a baby. Mary was excited for her. She knew how much Elizabeth had wanted children. The joy of that pregnancy brought Mary to her cousin so she could share the joy of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So, Mary became pregnant. At the same time, she's notified that Elizabeth is 6 months along. Each of these mothers had joy, and look what they did. Mary went to go be with Elizabeth. I'm sure there were other probably pregnant women there in Nazareth, but Elizabeth shouldn't have been able to have children because she was so advanced in age. So that was truly joyful for her, and Mary wanted to be there and be part of that. And so you notice that Mary and Zacharias received the news from the angel Gabriel in different ways, radically different ways, you might say. If you recall, Zacharias, he persisted in doubt. You know, when he was told of a pending miraculous pregnancy. Like, yeah, but how can I know for certain? That's what Zacharias is reasoning with the angel. And compare that to how Mary received the news. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may be done to me according to your word. She didn't know all the ins and outs, how it was going to happen. She didn't need to know. She just knew that the Lord said it was going to be, and it was going to be. But now 6 months later, Zacharias, remember, he is mute right now because he was muted for not believing right away. So he's now been mute for at least 6 months. And he's going to remain mute until his child is born and named. So Mary has rushed to see her cousin. Elizabeth has commended Mary on trusting what she had been told by the angel. Now, you know that her and Zacharias have talked. He did a lot of listening. He may have written some things out to communicate back, but he did most of the listening. He probably communicated to her what had happened with him. And now Mary is there saying, you know, and Elizabeth is saying, Mary, you did it right. You trusted in the Lord for that. And so you got to figure Zacharias is probably somewhere nearby because they're only in Jerusalem for, you know, the three main festivals and then for 2 weeks out of the year. So he's already done his for this part. He's probably back at home. And so Mary may have gone to see Elizabeth just to verify what she had been told. Is she really expecting a child? And Mary is probably not feeling any effects whatsoever of her pregnancy. I mean, she's only been pregnant for a few days. And now Elizabeth and Mary are joyful for the goodness that God has shown them. God is faithful to His promises. And after thousands of years, He is now moving forward with His plan to redeem His people. Something that the plan had to start in motion back in Genesis 3. And Elizabeth and Mary are an integral part of God's plan. They are the women who will give birth to God's Messiah and to the one who will prepare the way for Him to come. We can only imagine the nights that Elizabeth and Mary spent together, staying up all night, chatting about, you know, what they could expect from their respective children. But you know that had to be just a joyful time for both of them moving forward. But isn't that the way joy works? How many people, you know, when they are experiencing great joy, go to some secluded place and express their joy all alone? No. When we are joyful, we want to be with others. Joy is meant to be shared. It compels us into community. And joy is something that is just meant to be shared. And Mary stayed there for 3 months. I think she stayed probably until Elizabeth gave birth to John. I mean, why stay there for 3 months and leave before the big event, right? I mean, you're already there. You might as well stick around for the big event. So Mary and Elizabeth's children are inextricably linked. They are important to each other. And both women were celebrating God's goodness. And, you know, they look at that. When people celebrate God's goodness together, the joy will multiply. People flourish in community. And this flourishing multiplies when we are celebrating God's goodness together. Immediately following this passage is a song from Mary praising God. It's often called the Magnificat. In this song of praise to God, Mary acknowledges her joy of the role she will play in God's plan to redeem His people. She's a teenager selected for the once in history part as the mother of God. It wasn't because of anything she did. And she was excited. She was joyful. It reminds me of how much joy a dog displays. We all know how much joy a dog has because we can see it in them. Their joy is so immense that they can't contain it. If we were to look at the diary of a dog, it might look something like this. 8 a.m., oh boy, dog food, my favorite. 9:30 a.m., oh boy, a car ride, my favorite. 9:40 a.m., oh boy, a walk, my favorite. 10:30 a.m., oh boy, getting rubbed and petted, my favorite. 11:30 a.m., oh boy, dog food, my favorite. Noon, oh boy, the kids, my favorite. 1 o'clock, oh boy, the yard, my favorite. 4 o'clock, oh boy, to the park, my favorite. 5 o'clock, dog food, oh, my favorite. You know, 5:30, oh boy, pretty mums, my favorite. 6 o'clock, oh boy, playing ball, my favorite. 6:30, oh boy, watching TV with my master, my favorite. 8:30, oh boy, sleeping in master's bed, my favorite. Mary had the same sort of overflowing joy like a dog. But cats are a little different from dogs when it comes to joy. Here could be a diary entry for a cat. Day 183 of my captivity. Some people have the joy of a cat. When it comes to Jesus, are you the dog or are you the cat? We notice in today's passage that the baby John recognized Jesus as God and leaped for joy, jumped for joy. Do we exude the same depth of passion for Jesus? Are we jumping for joy? Now, while jumping for joy is an expression, is it, you know, just a form of expression for that. And it's a physical expression, just like the dog, you know, is so excited, jumping up and down and everything like that. We can have joy in our hearts, even if we can't jump into the air anymore. And for some of us, it's probably not a good idea. But we can break out of the drudgery of our lives and reclaim the joy that the early Christians had. They were overjoyed with the good news that Jesus brought to them. At Christmas, let's not focus on the gifts and times with our families we'll have, though those will be joyful, but rather let's focus on the joy that comes from knowing that by being a follower of Jesus, we will have eternal joy with the one who created us and loved us all our lives. Reclaim the joy of knowing that Jesus left heaven to come down here to rescue you personally. Even if you were the only one that He could save, He would come down for you, me, any of us personally. He would do that to spend eternity with you. That is something worth celebrating. Take the example of the dog and jump for joy at our Savior's love for us. Let's pray. Father God, Your Son, our Lord, brought joy to this world at His first coming. Joy that Your plan to redeem us was in progress. We praise You. We rejoice for His coming and the price He paid to redeem us. Remind us of this joy during this season so we can once again focus our hopes and our joy in You so we can have peace. In the name of Your Son we pray. Amen.
I simply loved the story Pastor Kyle told about the joy-filled puppy today. probably because I have a dog that is just that joyful. Whenever she sees someone she knows, she starts turning zoomies in front of her. Zoomies, you see, are Lizzie's way of expressing her joy. How do you express your joy in this wonderful Christmas season? I hope you find new ways to do that this year.